HaKodesh. Rav Kook was talking about how manifestations of holiness appear in greater degree in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So he continues, we're on 102 in the middle. HaFa'ot HaKodesh is yesh anasim she'erkam she'achim mehofa'ot. There are certain kinds of people that in the very essence... What's that? That in their essence... They're relevant. They are ready for hofaot, for manifestations of God. So the word appears in a number of different places. Right? Relating to situations, spiritual, intellectual, specific situations. Al sichliim, above secha, above logic. Mysterium, mysterious. Pigishot Ruach HaKodesh. Yesh kama pamim hashimush b'mila hazot hofa'a. So this idea, this word appears, right, in many different ways. Hofia Ruach HaKodesh b'beit medrash poni. Ruach HaKodesh hofia. Hofia means appear. Right, so hofia mehar paran v'atam yurvot kodesh. Right, that hofia means like God showed up, manifested himself, revealed himself, however you want to say it. Damba hofa t'kodesh v'yachas anashim Yisrael. These revelations, for relation to Jewish people, Nasim Yudim, Yesh Chiluk Bein Eretz Yisrael Bein Chutz Aretz. And so there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Aretz. Yesh Madrigot Rabot Ruvad Hakodesh. There are levels of this revelation. Be'ezu Madrigah Shehen. On whatever level it is, Yesh Komine Madrigot. The Eretz Yisrael Avir Naki. In Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, the land is, the air is clear, clean. Lachay Nikiyotein Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim. Right, the air is good. Right, however, whatever value you would have of hofa'ah, of revelation, you would get in America, that hofa'ah is going to be that much greater in Eretz Yisrael. Yeshnam kam erachim madrigot. There are different levels, different values. Ubechutz la'aretz admat nechar eretz amim tumat eretz amim. You get a sense of what Rav Yehuda thinks about Chutz La'aretz. Is he making himself clear? It's it's impossible that there's that same purity or tanikiyut. Afilu eshel on etel on sheg kodesh hayotzer gdolim. See what he would say: as great as any gadol became in Eretz Yisrael, as great as he is, as great as he was in Torah and greatness in Ruach HaKodesh, whatever you want to say, as great as he was, he would have been that much greater in Eretz Yisrael. Bar none. He says it's not debatable. You just have to kind of take his word for it.
What? Looking at the footnote.
Yeah.
27?
Yeah.
No, 1 second.
Rabbi Yosef learned...
All right, what are you looking at? The whole footnote?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Let's read it.
I think that's...
Ubedidi ayav ha'ubga. What's that?
I think he quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman here.
Shashalach Rabbeinu Oti Esel Achi HaKatan V'Gadom Mimeni B'Kol Mila D'Meitav Chasida Kadisha Agon Ren Rav Shlomo Zalman. They more love the tzivui mishmo shelo yukabel shum malach magid asher yavo etzlo. So Rabbeinu, right? That's probably. We'll see. 1 second. It was Rav Chaim Balazin. Okay. No, 1 second. So no. He said. Right. He said, don't listen to a magid. Ki bizman lo kaver yavo elav malach magid. Sooner or later, a magid is going to come. But af amar afki marana beis Yosef hayalo magid. Beis Yosef, like back when things were okay, you could listen to his Magid, and his Magid was in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
But when the Magid comes to you outside, not good. You know, that's why I don't listen to my Magid either.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that? Anyway, okay, then the rest is just a quote from more quotes from Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Yesh B'yadi. Mechtav me'adam chashuv b'sifrutenu shebizman ha'acharon hiparsem yoter. He said a letter from a person who became relatively well known recently. Rav Hillel Seitlin. Who is Rav Hillel Seitlin? I know that name. Okay, nobody knows who he is.
Zecher Mikdash Hillel Adosa.
Yeah, he wrote about him. He was one of the holy rabbis. So we say, Olam Yimashalam, that the Nazis, Hayalehem Kasher Lisbol Lirotam B'Chayim B'Olam Hazeh. Very interesting way of putting it. The Nazis had difficulty suffering his life in this world. So what did they obviously do? Yeah. Here's a very interesting letter. At the original, Masarti Lemachon Agudat HaSofrim Tel Aviv. I gave them the original. So you got a letter, right? Who gave them a letter to keep? There he expresses, I'm sorry. He says, it seems to me that the leaders of Israel have lost this Ruach HaKodesh. He writes in Sograim in parentheses, the Rad Ruach HaKodesh Asher Rebbe Beit Midrashchem. Aside from the Ruach HaKodesh in your Beit Medrash. So he says, and the proof is that, so what's the difference? Because obviously Reb Kook is in Eretz Israel, and you're in Eretz Israel, and we're not. Parashat HaTorah Shel Yaakov Avinu, Chozer Baitam Migalito Beit Chotno, when Yaakov comes back from Laban's house, Misaperat HaTorah, Vayitkuru Bo Malachei Elokim, the angel met it. Yaakov Avinu came right. Yaakov Kasma Chutan Yimam Malachim. You know, he knew them well. Haytalos Shaychut VeKirba Alehem. The parashat VaYishlach Nichtav, VaYishlach Yaakov Malachim. Rashi Kotev Malachim Amish. Right, so he knew the Malachim somehow. Yaakov and the Malachim got along pretty well. Eh, how does it work? Okay, I have no idea. Right, you know, like you want to know.
He knew them so well. He sent them on a mission.
Right. So how did he do it? If you knew them so well, you could send them on a mission, but you don't. Malachim? Have you ever seen them? Michael, Gabriel, old Malachim? Aval b'midrash katuv shemalachut muvnehu shluchim basar b'dam. That Malachim, in the understanding of, you know, right. In Cain itself, Yaakov v'inu haitap gishayim Malachim. Afshar ba'ofen zeh, eilu b'le d'vi elok mechayim. Maybe they were messengers. Maybe they were angels. Both are true.
That's
Machlokis. Yeah, the Midrash or Rashi.
The famous reason why would
he send the two Midrash.
Why did he send the Lachim? Because he had no right to put a human shliach into Sakhana.
Who said that?
Nachman, we were talking about that. Why? According to Pshat, that it was Malachim Amish. Why did I say that? Because if he knows Achiel Esav, if he's going to be Esav, that means it's a potential that he's putting them. You have no right to send people into harm's way like that.
Right? It says at the end of Vayetze, before Vayishlach, that he when he got to right that place, what was the name of the place? I remember. Malachim came to accompany him. So different Malachim. Muzkarim shnei machanot malachim. Okay, and karashim ha-makon lo machanayim. Right, remember, he's at the end of the place, he calls it machanayim, but for Rashi and Barashi, she'ev hebdel ben shnei mini malachim. Two types of angels. Kodom nevula Yaakov avinu malachim l'shea l'chutz l'aretz, v'achan kein, t'chaz v'abayt al Eretz Yisrael, banu v'karto malachim shel Eretz Yisrael. By the way, we saw another example, where's there another example of that, specifically with regard to Yaakov avinu? Binei malachim elokim olim v'yardim bo.
That's the first one.
What? No, this is the other one. This is on the way back.
Okay.
Right, so Yaakov Avinu, when he gets to Yerushalayim, the Eretz Yisrael malachim go away, and the other malachim come back, and then when he leaves, his old friends that accompanied him before, they're back to take him back to base Yitzchak, as it were. Right. So we see, and Yaakov Avinu, clearly the imagery is there for the, you know, the midrashim are there. If you want to look at them on a, how should we say, on a more hidden level, that there definitely is that message of the two levels of the malachim. Like the malachi Eretz Yisrael, the malachi Chutz Laretz. And they're not, and ironically, interestingly, they can't cross over. The malachim of Chutz Laretz,
invisible fence.
They stay. Right. And the malachim of Eretz Yisrael, they don't leave. Mm-hmm. Right? They pass the baton to the other guy, but they don't leave. And so what do they know that we don't know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are midrashim that we kind of take for granted even when we're kids. So why not? What's the line? That's a good question. In the spiritual world, in the world of angels, there's still a difference. Right, what do they care? They're like, you know, spiritual beings. What should they care where they are? Obviously, regarding hofaot, manifestations, that's the second sentence. And I'll go to the last piece that Rav Kook says. So, I mean, it is an explicit Rashi Avram in the Chumash. You know, so what does one do with that? How do you argue with that? Why couldn't they go to Chutzlach? Why is it Machanayim? Shnei Machanos HaMalachim.
Only we are them.
Right.
On the way out and on the way in.
Right. That's exactly the point.
You can say because...
Very strong. It's a very strong proof. Yes. Very strong.
The concept is every blade of grass and every aspect has its own Malach, which means to say it's staying. I don't know that it meant from a physical... It is Mushba and it is... On there. It can't change.
Why specifically Chutz Aretz and Eretz Yisrael? That's the point.
It shows us that more Kedusha. A different type of Kedusha.
So much so, Melachim of Eretz Yisrael of Chutz Aretz can't enter. Not allowed in. It's just very fascinating. Okay. The last thing Rav Kook writes is, even if you're stuck outside of Eretz Yisrael, if your desire... Right, the hashpa Eretz Yisrael can have on you is connected to the level of chesed that you have to it. That one's the last one is hard for us to understand. Right. I mean, he says, look, we can understand, oh, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you get it. If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't get it. Then he says, but if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael and the level of connection that you have to Eretz Yisrael is great, then you get it too. That's how Chiyahud has to explain. We spoke about the valuation of thought, the psychological level of a person. There's a third sentence. So it's clear. Am I going too fast? Are you okay? No? Dov, you're okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that there's a difference. And by the way, and I want to point out this formulation. Beirur sheyesh hevdel reali mitziyuti. There is a real, actual difference, tangible difference in Chutz Aretz and Eretz Yisrael. You know, I mean, in all of our learning about Eretz Yisrael, we have never seen anybody talk about it like that.
But who would argue that? I mean,
what do you mean who would argue about that? Remember we had this discussion about Tumah and Tara, about whether it's an actual fundamental difference,
in that sense,
or whether it's a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality, whether there's a real...
If you had the right glasses, you could see what you're
right,
talking about.
Right. So who would argue with that? Any rationalist, theoretically a Maimonian, would say...
Hashem is everywhere.
There is no tangible difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. There's no tangible difference between Yerushalayim. So what's the difference? That Halacha has decided that this is more Kadosh, that this has greater Kedusha. So it's not different. It's not fundamentally different.
Which creates a reality. We were
creates
talking
reality,
about that just now with Halacha. We were talking about with regard
the only reality,
to Abraham in regard
no,
to...
No, the only reality it creates is the way we react to it. Our response to it.
No, I'll tell you why the reality. For instance, we say Bakal B'Shishin. It's not that the reality is still treif, but we're going to let you eat it. The reality is it's no longer a Isser.
Now you guys are agreeing with me, so is it pork or not?
So the answer
is pork.
No.
But the pork is kosher?
No.
But the
here's
pork
the
is
answer.
Diluted to the point where you are consuming
and ingesting
you
an ounce
correct.
Of pork.
No, what has happened, I know my father years ago had said like this, there was some German scientists that broke down a certain food and they said we find traces in it. So the answer was, we don't care what the traces are, we care the halacha. Is that considered the Isser or not? If it's not...
Is it pork?
As far as how long has it lost? As far as a chemical, it could be.
Yeah.
But one is nothing. It's
the same way.
Realm.
The same way.
Well,
a
I'm asking you.
Would be in your
realm.
Could you look at it with halachic? If you could invent halachic glasses, could you see a tangible difference
yes.
between it? pork before. Let's say I was able to isolate that piece of pork and pull it out.
Oh, if you could, then first of all, we say it's only going to be buckled if it is...
No, it's unrecognizable, but if I put on my glasses.
Oh, you just made it recognizable. Pull it out.
No. I only put on my halakha glasses.
Mm. Like, for instance, the jeweler's loop.
Right, the halakha glasses. I now take my halakha glasses and I pull it out ounce by ounce.
So the answer,
it's batel, meaning batel, because there's no difference physically. But if I took my glasses, my halakha glasses...
Your halakha glasses will say, I don't see it.
I don't see it. Even though I could now analyze it chemically and say, oh, that one's important.
But it's not there. The halakha says what you're seeing is not the pork that the Torah offered.
So you're saying, I agree with you, the halakha transformed the reality.
It's saying that this is not the type...
Wait, what about Eretz Yisrael?
What about Eretz Yisrael?
So Rav Kook would say, Dr. Kellner, who was here, he said, this was nothing different, we spoke about this, there's nothing fundamentally different, but because the halakha categorizes as such, we relate to it as such, and it's all for our own distinctions that are important.
What about the idea of Eretz Ochel Yisrael? Or that the Ein Oseivel. We see there is a physical concept.
Very easy. What did the Rambam say to that?
He said Hashem is going to do
it. Yeah, clearly. Right. That's a Rabbanu Shel Olam. I'm saying if you don't respect the lines of Kedusha.
I won't lie to you.
Right. I will
take it into that realm.
I will have the land manifest that kind of identity.
Right.
Whereas it seems to me, Rav Kook saying, no.
Yeah, but what does the Rambam say also about the Beis Din being Mekadosh the Levana? Right, we said that having Jews in Eretz Yisrael, if it's not for that, the whole Jewish religion goes to pieces. Why?
We did say that.
Why does the Rambam say that? The rationalist.
No, I mean, maybe he felt that halacha. Well, I see what you're saying.
It's an impossible. I don't agree. I think that thought process is very flawed.
That's a good question. Well, so why don't we send Becker Kellner an email and we'll ask him. Yes, he got it. He's in Florida now. Okay. I got a message from him.
Yeah, but you know what? Like we say, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and he's going to be Mitaher. He's going to be Mitaher Mamzer. Meaning, in...
We don't need that anymore. Do you know anybody who's a Mamzer? Is there any Mamzer anymore?
All these Mamzerim are going to be...
What's going to be on the Duyim or on the Suffolk?
Eliyahu is going to come and take care of him.
He's going to say, don't ask, don't tell.
The Gemara in Kedushin.
No, I mean it. I'm not joking as far as that's what it came out according to one shot. Don't ask, don't tell.
So, what is that? So, how does.
I mean, you could tell if you wanted to, but he doesn't want to know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to say, forget about it. You don't know.
Or he's just going to say, okay, whatever.
The Pada Cloudy Show.
Yeah.
That's what we do now. Right.
That's what I was asking you.
Right.
Just learning
anyway, I stopped on that language. Hevdel reality in the T-U-T. It's real. It's physical. It's not a categorization. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's actual. It's Eretz Yisrael, and it has real world manifestation.
The inner Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
What?
That takes away the inner Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael.
Why does it take away the inner Kedusha?
Not by saying it the other way around.
Why does? I mean, no, it doesn't. I don't know. What is Kedusha? Excuse me, is the Aron Kodesh, is the Sefer Torah in your shul kadosh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
Yeah.
So do you mean that it has some level
not
of...
Not the same level of Kedusha.
No, I didn't ask you that.
Not the Sefer.
No, does that Sefer Torah have some level of Kedushiation? You know what I'm saying? If you could look on with your Kedusha glasses, or is it kadosh because of the way we relate to it?
Can I give you an example?
You understand what I'm saying?
Is it intrinsically
kind of? Right. You know magnetic fields.
It's intrinsically.
Magnetic fields are there. They are measurable. And yet you can't see them.
Okay.
Burn it.
In the same way, we're giving off an aura that we don't see because we're not sensitive to it.
So how do you know?
I'm saying, when you say Kedushin, what is it? What is Tumah?
I'm playing devil's advocate with you. I agree with you.
I'm saying the concept of Tumah, if you want to look at it in a very, very, shall we say, scientific fact, A, either we don't have the proper glasses to see it, and it as yet remains hidden from us,
mm-hmm.
or B, you're going to say, no, it's only a very, very, shall we say, nice way of putting it, but that's not what it means. It means God just likes you more for this.
No. Because God has created boundaries. And based on the boundaries that he created, we've established categories called Tumah. But it doesn't mean there's something intrinsically, inherently different about this.
Or would it be surprising if we could have those glasses that Hashem is looking at it through? and you'd see like a radiation of red around this and a blue around that.
All I'm saying is that this is a theoretical discussion because it's unprovable.
Correct.
Oh, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai,
do you think everyone... What? Haran or Panav? No.
So 1 second. Does that mean that there was...
His face was really gone.
Okay. Or was that just the way we were perceiving him?
What did Rambam
say? To put a mask upon him.
That's what you're asking.
What would the Rambam say? What does Rambam say about all these fantastic stories?
I agree.
Yeah. The more... I mean, the more...
And to put a veil on his face? It's an allegory.
What? How come you put a veil on his face when it says Karan or Panav? It was saying that his face was such that people couldn't even look at him. We've seen people like that.
Almost.
Well,
why couldn't they?
I don't know.
Because there was something about him they couldn't relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that just because of people? Or was it because of... I mean, I'm saying, what is his...
What about the Aron Kodesh?
I'm agreeing with you.
No, I'm talking about the Aron that they said. If you look at it... And what level you
to say that God punishes you for being disrespectful to the Aaron.
All right. Well, God is doing everything.
That's not an inherent... No, but it's not a question of inherent reality. You look at it, your eyes burn out, like, you know, and you melt like wax.
If you went into the Kodesh Kodesh,
okay. Would it kill you? Is the environment toxic? Or does God just might strike you down?
Ultimately, it's the same.
Yeah. Right. Except the Machanina would be... Is Eretz Yisrael a place that I have to be because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said I have to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a place I have to be because I physically, spiritually belong there and will fundamentally react differently, better, more spiritually, and be better connected to God?
What is the practical difference?
All those things that I just said.
If God wants you to be there, you're not going to be much Tzidich HaNik yourself in the same way. What does it make a difference if it was the land doing it?
No. So not everybody would agree with a cook that's saying, you know, yeah, if you're an Israel Machim, they'd have to interpret that in some way. But everything else is like, why do I have to live in Eretz Yisrael? Because that's where the mitzvahs are. That's where the Baruch gave us the Torah. He says, you know, there are mitzvahs to live in Eretz. It's not because the land itself is inherently different and fundamentally genetically altered.
You'd imagine Hashem would have given... It's interesting, with all that we're saying, that Hashem did not give the Torah in Israel, but in Chutz Lars.
Okay.
Your what point? Does that say?
Good question. Are you arguing the other way now?
Made it in.
Are you arguing the other side now?
Yes. I'm saying that Chutz Lars has some inherent qualities that made it the perfect place to accept the Torah. Or are you going to say that they had to before they could have appreciated Israel? I don't know. Either way. You can look at it both ways.
All right. I mean, I personally have always found Rav Kook's view appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, appealing doesn't make it provable. Like everything else he says in this book so far is something you either feel in your heart...
If you don't believe it,
or you
don't
learn. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, I have found this learning... Personally, somewhat, I would say, transformative. You understand what I mean? Like, it kind of opens your eyes to a whole different mode of thought, Jewish nationality, of Yichud of Eretz Yisrael, and the whole, like a whole different connection that's not connected to, you know, Torah and Mitzvot as we normally think about it. Not even close to the Rav Teichel connection of, you know, this part and that part, and, you know, is it a Mitzvah, is it not a Mitzvah? But just a deep emotional...
He's not weighing the reasons. He's saying, bottom line, this is fact.
Spiritual, emotional connection. You know, and it's a very different thing. It's good to focus on. Because for all the intellectualism, you know, we're emotional beings. We're passionate people. And that has to be a part of us also. And one gets a sense there's like a little... There's like the Kabbalah / Hasidus or whatever you want to call it. You know?
Riggish, whatever.
Yeah, feeling. I mean, I was never trained that way. I was never educated that way.
The force is strong.
What? What's that?
No.
The force is strong. I mean, you can mock it, but on some level, that's what Rav Kook is saying.
I don't think he was trained that way either.
Rav Kook?
His father was.
He found it.
That's what I'm saying. I think it just became a natural...
I mean, clearly he was like... Whatever.
It was out of his learning. It was out of his...
What was Rav Kook's father?
What was his father? I don't know, I have to look in the Angel Among Men book. I think, like, I don't know. Nothing, I don't know if he was a rabbi or
ordinary for the European Jew.
Yeah, I don't know, he made it into Volozhin.
Who did?
Rav Kook
was an Eloy, a tremendous civil brilliant.
That's what I'm saying.
His father had to be.
Yeah, but he had beginnings. No, but he had a ridiculous. He had this chesed for Eretz Yisrael. They say when he was like when very young.
Right.
But, you know that he would say a b'tikun chatzos. I think that Rav Kook. I get a sense that Rav Kook had a strong nitiyah towards Kabbalah and the Kabbalah. You know, like I was. I'm in the middle of reading this. I just after the whole symposium. The whole like symposium. Did I talk to you guys about that? About Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Sweet A.H., whether they should publish his letters or not?
The family was against.
The family was against. Well, not the family, because somebody was against.
Right.
So they published his letters in Terramata Journal, and then the next year, a year later, in the next Terramata Journal, it's fascinating reading. Rabbi Schachter, Jacob Schachter,
mm-hmm.
he published maybe a 50 or 60 page article on should he or should he have not published letters.
And so, who published letters?
He did in the Torah Matajon, Rabbi Schachter. It's very, very fascinating.
Or something?
They were letters, you have to read them. They were letters between Sweet A.H. and his dear, dear personal close friend, Dr. Samuel Atlas, who was a professor of Talmud and philosophy at the Hebrew Union College. Just like, you know.
Sweet A.H. was in Switzerland.
Yes, Switzerland. Right? So his, like Talmud Muvak says, he never would have wanted to publish, So my reaction to that is very often Talmidim take on a certain aspect of the persona of their Rebbeim.
What they want to.
The one that you have an etiyah to. You know, you see it with the Rav. Like everyone like just screaming from here to tomorrow, I'm the Talmud of the Rav, and the Rav said this to me, and then some guy says, exactly the opposite. I mean, totally opposite. The Rav never was in favor of that. I never heard him talk about that. How could it be the same man? Because in great people, you see your, you know, the things that are important to you that he agreed with as being, you know, fundamental. So perhaps, you know, Rav Chaim Volozhin was also known, you know, as a big Ohev Yisrael, as connected to Eretz Yisrael, you know, and especially as in the Kabbalistic sense. So one gets the sense that Rav Kook had a certain netiyah, like a spiritualist netiyah, and he found an avenue in that, clearly in Kabbalah, clearly. And he understood it. He knew what it meant, obviously. You know, and remember, they're learning. Mamash, he's a brilliant Elu. He went through all the Shas. He learned Kol HaTorah Kula. And I was doing, you know, Nistar. And even from the Nistar that we get, like, snippets of here, it's all inherently connected to Eretz Yisrael in a very strong way. Because remember, in the Nistar, like, he's quoting you this idea of Am Yisrael, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Chadhu. These are, you know, Zohar concepts. They're not, you don't see them in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. You know, and that creates a strong connection, a strong desire, a strong love that he had. And then he developed this over time in his learning. And I think that's where one gets it from. Okay. Third line. Zalonika mishtanot. It's not going to change. Zehavdel b'metiyut. Hevdel b'teva. He keeps saying it over and over again, like just in case you didn't understand what he meant. He really, 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 really thinks it's true. It's a fact. Now prove it.
The laws of nature are different there.
Yeah. Prove it. Are they?
Yes.
Most Jews in Eretz Yisrael would say yes.
My father told me this as a young boy when he was living in Israel. It says that the Tau is only Eretz Yisrael. We have Du, but that's Tau. And the Tau is Eila, after a certain time, it goes back up.
Yeah.
My father told me, as a young boy living in Eretz Yisrael, he actually got up very early one day and took an eggshell, half of the eggs, you know, and he laid it on the ground. I never tried it when I was Eretz Yisrael. Later on, I wondered why I didn't. But he got up real early, and as he watched, the eggshell actually raised up into the air, because when the rest of the towel, you know, that sheen starts leaving, it actually is like evaporating, whatever you want to call it. The eggshell actually went up into the air.
Now you're telling me this could never happen in any other place?
We could try it, but I don't believe so.
Okay.
And then it flipped over the eggshell and fell down. In other words, like...
Amnam, but l'figoyo ha-kishukav ha-kishur shel adam le'eretz Yisrael, the greater person's desire and connection to Eretz Yisrael, goyo ha-kishur ha-machshavti, the greater the connection of thought, hergeshi, of feeling, ha-psychologi, psychological, chima'on, thirst, ga'gu'im el Eretz Yisrael, ga'gu'im are yearnings. Yesh leze erech. There's a value. Lo b'vana pashut. Not in a simple understanding. Of course it's valuable. But he's saying on a greater level. It doesn't replace everything. Some level of exchange. Then we get to back what we said before. Machshavot, take your notes, write your notes. Even remember we talked about those four levels. Thought, higayon, was the combination of thought and desire. Write your note. Ratzon, give me your note. Imagination. Remember we talked about rayonot, and we explained it. Combination of Ivrit and Aramaic. Rayonim reuta, ratzon. Rayonot are desires. Your thought process that's connected with your desires. I mean, the way you think because of what you want. That was reuta. That was rayonot. Ratzon shifa galgim shimayon, desire, thirst, yearnings, nifkasim b'tzala machshavti, they arrive, right, in the thought process also. Decisions that you make, right, they're concrete decisions, they're thoughtful decisions. But they're also based, sometimes your thoughtful decisions are based not just on your logic, but they're based on your emotion, on your desire, on what's formulating. Thought and desire and will and desire are not separated, they're not disconnected. If you go to like Sukkah, like Kishrei Shalom Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Harei Ra'ayonotav Mizdak Kikim. The greater the desire, his Ra'ayonotav, his decision, his yearning-based decisions are clarified. Mekablim Tahara Zikuch. They're purified. They're cleansed. Yisod Avir Eretz Yisrael. From the Yisod, the principle of Avir Eretz Yisrael. Hanimshach, that comes from a Chofei Vakom Mitzapel Rota. Right, that flows over anyone who's mitzapel rotah, waiting, expecting to see it. The Gemara muskar between tzipia lirotah, right? And the Gemara says, what do we say about it? It says tzipita liyeshua. What does mitzapot mean?
Anticipate.
Right, anticipate or yearn. Which one? Something like that. Hashaychuz nafshid psychologet shel kishur, the psychological spiritual connection, tying to mishtalev b'pasuk hazeh. Right, mishtalev. It's formulated in this pasuk. Simchut Yerushalayim v'giluva, have joy, happiness in Yerushalayim, and rejoice in it. Kol ohaveh, all of those people that love her. Zeh pasuk miyuchad shel zikaron Yerushalayim. It's a special pasuk of remembering Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim mikudeshet b'kol Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim mi'amerkai shel Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim muvana. What does it mean? Yerushalayim kedushas Yerushalayim.
Put this in the newspaper today.
Can you become a kamot halev?
Split it.
What?
Give it to the EPA.
Oh God, it broke. Shiur hakoma, at the level of height. Hamer kaziyus of Klal Yisrael, v'sho kol adam Yisrael, the centrality of Klal Yisrael in every Jewish person. Bitoch zeh shayakan apasuk zichru merachok. So if Yerushalayim, you rejoice in it, then you can say zichru Yerushalayim merachok et Hashem, Yerushalayim ta'ala alibchem. Right, if you remember God from far, then Yerushalayim will enter your heart. Zechiraz Yerushalayim, right? Remember Yerushalayim, even then, hakishor nafshi psychologi, hergeshi b'hahakarati, the psychological, spiritual feeling and recognitional connection to Yerushalayim, bifgash im hargashas simchav gila. That brings with it rejoice and joy. Simchu avodat Hashem b'simcha. We're worshiping by Hashem. Zeh ashiya yoter agadol shel ahava. That's a great peak of love. It's a symbol of joy. From the Erech HaMiuchad, the grit of Yerushalayim, from the great level of Yerushalayim to Klal Yisrael and to a person of Yerushalayim, is revealed joy and gila and exaltation of love. I must say, I've read this a couple of times, I have no idea what he does at the end. He just kind of like rambles on into some other topic of joy and simcha, and I do not have any idea what he's trying to say.
I'm tied into the third sentence where he brought in that passage, Zichru Merachim, as Hashem, Yerushalayim Ta'ala Libcha. This whole concept, in other words, if you internalize it, the joy...
If you want to have joy,
if you remember...
You have to yearn for Yerushalayim.
Right, and if you do that, then everything is just...
I guess. Let's go on. Eretz Yisrael, Mekomeinu HaTivi. So now he gets a little more... How should we say concrete? Or he says it again, because there's another sicha on the same. It's a very short sicha on the same ma'amar. Okay, in the same chapter in Rebbe from page 107. Hadrachot hachinuchiyot eila inam stam dvarim. These directions, these educational directions, not just words. Yes, I'm serious. You have to understand in full seriousness I am a responsibility. Which is that Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'olam. But it didn't say that. Goy Echad Ba'aretz.
Doesn't that go with Lashem Ha'aretz Mulo? Do you mean to say only in Eretz Yisrael, but the rest of the world not?
What?
Lashem Ha'aretz Mulo. To Hashem belongs only the things that are in Eretz Yisrael. We don't say that.
Mika Amcha Yisrael. Sorry. What? Goy Echad Ba'aretz.
I know, but what I'm saying is he's using Aretz, this case, to specify Eretz Yisrael.
Hold on a second. Chazal marchivim magishim makavana ba'aretz. He's answering your question. Chazal explained, what does it mean? Be'aretz Yisrael, ha'aretz ha'miyuchadet. Vadai, he's quoting the Zohar, vadai be'aretz heim goy achad, ima akron achad v'lo inun bilchudaihu. I don't know what that means. Anybody know Aramaic? Ima akron achad v'lo inun bilchudaihu. So he says, how do I know it's Eretz Yisrael? Right? Vadai ba'aretz heim goy echad.
Maybe with one it's called echad.
Ima akron echad v'lo inun bilchudaihu. Right? Goy echad, that's great, very good. Goy echad, when are we goy echad? Ba'aretz. When we're in the land of Israel.
What's the inun?
V'lo inun bilchudaihu, not them alone. Meaning,
It's not we are one.
Goy echad. We're not goy echad until we're goy echad ba'aretz.
Ima with us.
What? Ima with the land. Akron echad. I call you one.
Akron echad equals one.
Right. Jews, because but Jews themselves is not goy echad. Right.
It's goy echad when it's
ba'aretz. Right. Zuyis yirah lokit. This is a spiritual a God creation. Hata'ama. A matching, a pairing, a twinning. Shaychut ha'am hazeh le'eretz hazot. Ha'aretz la'am zu yatsarti li. I mean, right, he's just quoting Navi, you don't have to get any, you know what I'm saying? He's quoting Sukkot. Ha'aretz ha'mitzuvah la'avraham avinu le'elcha la'aretz asher ha'yaka ve'eshcha l'goy gadol. Same line. Ha'goy gadol, ha'am gadol, am tzgula mitzach mincha shayach la'aretz shaychut historit. We have a historical relation and a connection to this land. V'cham kamot chazam mevarim sh'Yisrael hem yuchadim v'shayachim la'aretz. So Chazal said this too. V'chan Yisrael v'yaraita. The Jewish people in the Torah, Torah Yisrael Yuchadet, they ain't Torah, Torah Eretz Yisrael, we all know this. Normally Yuta Makom Hazet, there's a normalcy in this place. Now, Americans would argue the other way, but okay. The Abbas Rabbi Nassim, Mudgash, and we talk Klai Yisrael, Yesh Torah Yisrael, through Klai Yisrael, there's Torah, we talk Kach, Anche Torah, Tamid HaChacham, Mishal Eretz Yisrael. And through that, you have a Tamid HaChacham, Eretz Yisrael, Tamid HaChacham, Shinim Tabe Eretz Yisrael, if you have a Tamid HaChacham, Eretz Yisrael, Sham Mekomo, B'Madrega Miyuchadet. There he's on a specific level. The Im Yatzal Luchus La'aretz. Pagam?
He's lacking.
Yeah. Achavisha Pagam, even if he is lacking, Mishubachu, Mikol Tamid Chacham Mishim B'chutz La'aretz.
Oh, because he was once an Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. He's a Tamid Chacham Eretz Yisrael. By the way, and you know who knew this?
The Talmudim.
They knew it clearly. Now, in the Gemara, they talk about it all the time.
First, and then
when the Gemara talks about it all the time. When he came from there, when a Tamid Chacham would come from Eretz Yisrael.
It was Yardin to Bavel and Eilim Yerushalayim.
Yeah. Even in Babel, they know it. Okay? These are specific phrases. We've done that Gemara. He's quoted that footnote before. That Talmid Chacham b'chutz laretz, they're not in their place. They're not where they belong. I had a conversation with Richard Joel was here. They clearly do think American Rebbeim don't know anything.
Right.
I mean, the Rabbanim in Israel have very little patience for American rabbis. Even though, like, you go there, you see this, like, I mean, talk to Rabbi Meir, like, you said, there's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I actually think it's true only because anyone who really learned, he spent most of his learning in America, like, it's too many, even Lakewood, it's like a whole town now, you know, like, you can't, too much going on.
Is it that or is it the psyche of the Israeli? When I come to Eretz Yisrael, America.
Yeah.
They looked out, yeah.
Why they look down? It's not stam.
I'll tell you one of the reasons.
Because it's not perceived as being serious.
I don't think it was that. I think it was more a different thing. I remember, like, for instance, when I would go on a bus, and I would give the bus driver, I'd never change, I'd just take it.
No. You're talking about, you go to yeshiva, the bachur in the yeshiva, the kol guys in Eretz Yisrael, they can't
believe when Americans not aware.
They're surprised. And in general, they're dismissive.
Yes.
And I think legitimately so, if you ask me.
It's funny because the word on the street is Israelis don't know how to learn B'Iyun.
Yeah.
And Americans don't know anything because all they do is they learn B'Iyun. So they don't.
Yeah, you're hitting a.
That is what. That's,
how should I say this? You're hitting a sore topic for me because in yeshiva, all you do is Iyun.
Is Iyun, right?
And that's as I get out in the world.
Yes,
like
I
told you this before.
I
told you this before. Not covered ground. I'm much more interested in like limud shmaya limud hilchasa. Like learning, you know, how to like you know. I was trained to be uninterested in halacha per se. Right. What are the ramifications? What are the machshava behind it? And that's important. But almost to the exclusion of to such a degree that it was exclusive of actually understanding what's the halacha? What does God want from you?
Well, look, the key
anyway,
to learn Gemara Kedushin on topics or Gittin and Tzuvos, they're learning the concepts of how to learn, but they're not learning, shall we say,
anything of use.
No, they're learning use of how to how to utilize logic, but they're not learning it in order to know what does it mean when it says Basula? That's not to the kid.
Right.
No,
but so it's a word, but that word's allowing me to learn logic.
All right, I don't have this divide into it. Anyway, Zal Makom Ativia Normali Haidi Ali. I was going to say that Richard Joel. I had a conversation with him. He was here yesterday, President of YU. He said that he was giving a talk in Israel for some institute. So I stood up and said, "How can you justify not living in training students to go back to America?" He said, "Listen, I think different students find their place in different ways, but I'm willing to agree that I'm incomplete." You know, that there's a level of completion. I think that was a very nice way of saying it. And not that everyone has to run there, but that a person who doesn't go there has to understand that he's incomplete. He's missing something. There's something that's unfinished. It's not normalcy and idealism. It's not ideal.
And what was the answer?
That's what he said.
What was the other guy's response to that?
Oh, who knows? You know, I said it wasn't much of a question. He said, no, it wasn't. You know, it's a statement. All right, anyway, we're all one of a part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Klal HaTorah, Klal Tamid HaChamim, Shayach L'Eretz, Im L'Eretz Yisrael. They belong in Eretz Yisrael. Mitoch Zeh, Yesh, Shaychut L'Eretz, L'chol Adam Yisrael. So every Jewish person has a connection, a Shaychut. L'chol Yishiyut Yichudit Yisrael. HaMakom HaNormali, HaTivi, HuKan. Normal, natural place is here. Adam Yisrael, Tzarech L'Adat, Shetiv Yuto. Normally Yuto, Amiti Yuto, Him Khan Bavir Darit Yisrael, Makam HaKadusha. Right, his trueness.
Yeah. So you know what, this is against, like the Truma Sadeshan has a Shuva saying, wherever you feel you can be Ovid HaKadosh
Baruch
Hu better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So in that sense, you're right. There is...
He would say, are you crazy? He would.
But I'm wondering, maybe the Truma Sadeshan really would say, no, in an ideal world, obviously, I don't think anybody would argue that necessarily, but maybe they say, in today's environment, today's conditions, it's not ideal, whatever, so therefore...
Why is it not ideal?
I'm just saying, whatever the reason might be. Maybe you could say, well, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Melech, we don't have a Navi, we don't have whatever, well, I'm saying whatever
so what?
It is.
How could it possibly be more ideal spiritually to be, unless you are...
70 years ago, would you have said the same thing?
No.
Okay, so that's the question.
But we're not 70 years ago.
But what he's saying is even 70
years ago. This wasn't 70
years ago. Huh?
This wasn't 70 years ago. I mean, Rav Kook wrote it?
No, but what I'm saying is he's...
I mean, Rav Kook would have said absolutely. Rav Kook would have said there is no... One second. First of all, 70 years ago, what was here? 70 years ago in America, 1930? Yeah, I would have said it.
No, what I'm saying is Poland or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm saying it can't be that it wasn't applicable 100 years ago also.
True.
His shita has to say that, okay, you're right.
No, I'm sorry. By the time Rav Kook got here, you read the book, he was like, you know, people, I can't make it. You can make it. You can do it. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And I would agree there are people that go and they try and they can't make it. But in general, he would argue, there, at least on a spiritual level, there is no justification to say, I can't do it. You know, the question is, are you willing to give up the things that you have to give up? But it's hard to argue. I've yet to see anybody, this comes back to, you read my brother's article in the Jewish Observer.
But it's nowadays.
The chinuch of my children. chinuch my children is such that. No, it's not that. It's that I want my children to be X, Y, Z, and because I'm not willing to give up on that or give up on, you know, you're right. You want to go to Eretz Yisrael. You want to be Haredi. Be Haredi. So you have to be that in order to go to Eretz Yisrael and fit in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't try to be this middle of the road American in there and then say, well, my children are going to go off the derech. But then all that means is that you don't. It's not that you say I can't go. You say I don't want to give up what I am here in order to go. Okay, but as long as you accept that. But let me. I want to read this. In the middle of footnote 10. It's probably three lines from the end of footnote 10. The beginning of the word line is Yesod. Yesod Ayan Hu Sha Torah Hi Chayim Chiyuniyut. Chiyuniyut is life, vitality. Ayim Ayudia Pratiu Atziburiya Choli Yot Matzab Domeshul Chiyuniyut. Biyoto Ba'aviv Yishalayim Petach Tikva Ol Ein Charud. O Biyoto Be'Brooklyn O Be'Williamsburg. Your vitality, your life force is not the same. Chas V'Shalom. Ein Ze Oto Avir. The Enzo Oto Mitziyut. It's not possible. It's not possible. Skip to the next footnote, 13. We'll skip down, okay?
I think that definitely people would argue with.
What?
That definitely people would argue.
Well, I'll argue address that in the next footnote.
Right.
Okay? You have to read this footnote. Yadua HaPitgam. Oh, sorry. I'm in the middle of the footnote. Smack in the middle of footnote number 13, about four lines in. From. Yadu Abigam. You see it, though? Right under that. One line under that. Yadu Abigam. The life of the spirit of the Avir Artsakha, of the heir of the land. The heir gives chachma, wisdom and logic. Reshita Seichel. So what's the first idea of saying, what's Seichel? What is Seichel? Seichel is simple understanding. So the first thing of Seichel is Lahavich Liyot Ben Goyim Zegalgamri Lo Naim. It's the first thing you have to understand. Don't get me wrong, but who in their right mind, what Jew needs to celebrate Valentine's Day? I go into my 7th grade class this morning and they're like, oh, you know, Valentine's Day. I have to explain to them who Saint Valentine was. What does it mean to be a saint? Right? Right? Who did he die for? And then how America is totally, like we always do, bastardized it into a commercial sexual
hallmark. Keep reading cards.
Right. But this is what we need to, you know.
But you could be in certain places in America where they don't know of.
That's not true. And it's not true.
No, it's so commercialized.
Not true. Impossible. And this go outside, they know it. It's impossible. It permeates everywhere. Shagoyim osim manu chesed, shemarshim lanu liyot ba'artzam. And they're doing us a favor. We Jews are allowed to be here. Adashahim nagishim otanu, until, of course, they do the chesed until they feel us. And then what do? I'm not begarshim with them. I'm not getting begarshim until they kick us out. America or Brazil, osad lanu tovah, mashad lanu liyot etzlan. They're great. They're going to stay.
This is Brazil.
V'zeh yasem ma'od mitzidan.
No,
I don't know why it says this.
Of all the Latin
American. Sam, it's not our chevra, not our control. Bakol lo shalanu. Kam b'makom shalanu. Ani tzim b'bayit. B'mispacha. Mikol b'chinot. Gam mitzad b'dusha. Gam mitzad b'yod psychologit. So I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Right. So how does the...
Afilo ha-psychol ha... Psychophysiologic. Psychophysiological. What does that mean? I don't know what the word means, psychophysiological.
Psychobabble.
Yesh tzorech mehakarah b'hagasha hazot. Lachzor liyot briyim. You have to recognize to be healthy. V'lo liyot b'akom she'enem briyim, ela mubulbalim. We are confused. Vamim, this is what he says. Kol kach mubulbalim, we're so confused, she'shochachim, we forget, v'choshim she'normali hu liyot ben hagoyim. Zotaut chamurah shemit nakelat otanu. It drags us down. Ain sharach lefaret et matzav yudim bechevrat agoyim. Eilu dvarim yiduim. And I'm thinking about it. How many laws are there of kashrus that are there simply to prevent us from intermingling with the non-Jews?
Yeah.
Pashakum, vishalakum, you know, yayin nesach. You know, just the list goes on and on. And they're all there, you know, sheikhar nachli, you know, drinking with a non-Jew, eating with non-Jews together, on and on and on. Why? Because they want to get a separation. So how in the world can we go ahead and then think that it's, you know, like driving around in Oak Park with Christmas trees and the policemen and the whatever, that becomes a normalcy.
Which is why so many people say, so when I'm in Israel, why do I have to keep kosher?
What?
I'm not with Jewish people.
No, come on. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chayenu, Mikol HaBchinot. It's our life from every aspect. Lumit, national, historic, chevratit, v'ishit, v'afilu, v'chad abriyiti. Even health. Physical health, spiritual health, well-being, that's where we belong. Now, I wouldn't disagree that the challenges there are daunting challenges. It's not the ideal Eretz Yisrael because the situation and the things that people have to deal with, the difficulties, they drag you down.
Because all the tumor from the Gullus.
All right, so go and make it better.
I'm saying the communism, all that stuff.
Yeah, and came so who did Rav Kastel?
Americanism.
Who did Rav Kastel blame that on?
The plume that didn't come
Correct. Could have been right away. And you know what?
Could have, would have, should have.
Could have, would have, should have. All right.